Hello, you are listening to CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. This is These Things That People Make, and I'm currently on the road in New York City, and on my way there, I stopped in the Adirondacks to hang out with my very cool aunts. You may remember meeting Mary Beth on this show. She brews beer, and I did a show about her. She's my aunt who lives a little bit outside of Syracuse, and I also met Norman, who is a very able carpenter and makes these really amazing dollhouses. Norman is my aunt Mary Beth's father, and this is a conversation we had. I met him for the first time at a Christmas dinner, and he showed me these amazing dollhouses he built. So this is our interview. How long have you been making dollhouses for? How did you figure out how to do it?
I just design my own stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my dollhouses are made to be played with, too.
Yeah.
My kids can play with these things. They have one in there. In fact, I was in Kmart one time. I should get that on tape.
Yeah. We're recording. Yeah.
I'm recording now. Well, I'll give you the story when we go in on the other one. But I forgot what I was going to say on this
one. You were in Kmart one time.
Well, that's got to do with the other dollhouse. I'll have to give that story when
I get
the other
dollhouse. This is radio, I need you to describe the house.
And what I did is I made a dollhouse patterned after a cottage in England, and then I used a fireplace from another cottage and put it in this dollhouse, and the stairway from another cottage, and I combined the three. And it had a lot of challenges to it, because in England they have slate roofs or thatched roofs or tile roofs, and I picked the slate. And I had to come up with some kind of roofing material that looked like slate. So I took Formica and used the rough side of Formica, and I painted it to look like slate, and I fitted them on one at a time. And then I used a tile cap that I actually made out of wood, but it looks like tile, that I turned on my lathe. And in the front, I always wanted to do a garden, so I put an English garden in the front. And I got from the craft stores locally, I bought all the things that had little tiny flowers, and I managed to come up with a nice garden, including vines climbing up the front of the house. One room in the house, which I'm kind of proud of, the living room, is called the cherry room, because all the paneling in there is actual cherry. And
whoa.
I used a marble fireplace, more of a formal type room.
And what's the story with all the furniture?
The furniture I bought at garage sales, flea markets, and estate sales. I did make the furniture in one house, the very first house I built, and it's a lot of work to make the furniture when you can pick it up for next to nothing at the different sales. And the first house I built, which is a 3/4 inch to a foot, this English house is one inch to a foot, which is more of the standard. But the other one, it's the first one I built for my daughters when they were like 7 and 5, and it's been to Texas and back, and the grandkids played with it, and one grandkid has claimed it now. But a few years back, I was in Kmart, and a woman came up who I didn't know who she was, and she said, "Hello, Mr. Thomas." She says, "You don't know who I am, but when I was little, I used to come over to your house to play with your dollhouse." And
wow.
One of the nicest compliments I've ever had,
yeah.
You know, that she thought so much of it at the time.
So it's how tall? It's about...
Oh, it's got to be 3 foot tall.
By like...
The English one, about 3 foot tall by 3.5 long, and then a foot and a half, almost 2 foot thick, including the garden. And these houses are made to be played with, and they've gone through many years of being played with, not the English one, because it's fairly recent. But what I model them after is, if I can't sit on them, they're not strong enough. Mm. And I weigh 250 pounds.
Like sit on the top?
I can sit on these dollhouses.
That's a good motto, because you want it to be... Because the thing is that they look very precious.
Yeah.
Like they look really special.
It's strong. Yep.
And so to have something that's really special and playable is kind of a...
Yes.
It's a beautiful idea.
And in fact, as I say, the first one, I made all the furniture, and it went to Texas and back, and it's gone through several generations of kids playing with it, and only the piano stool didn't make it. And I had to remake that, and I made a better one. I made one that twirls, that you can regulate, the circular one. But all the other furniture made it. It's kind of crude, but if my furniture that I make can't be thrown across the room and survive, then it doesn't belong in a house.
Yeah.
You know. But the furniture in the English house is a little more delicate, because I say I didn't build it. You know, I picked it up where I could. And the hardest thing to find is all the little extras, the little dishes and chalices and cooking materials and stuff like that, you know, which really make the house.
But I bet it's exciting when you do find them.
Yes. And that's part of the fun. I'm looking all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, I went to an estate sale this summer. The woman had died, and the daughters were selling it. And she had a nice collection of nice doll furniture. And I want to build a castle next. So, you know, I looked at it, and they had a high price on it. So I went back the next day, the last day of the sale. I says, I'll give you $40 for all of it. And she says, $40. She says, you know what this stuff costs in the store? I says, yeah, that's why I'm here offering you $40, because I know what it costs, and I can't buy it at the store,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So she sold it to me.